WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. Over the years, we've looked to Saturday Night Live for new comedic talent. Chris Rock, who joined the cast last season, is someone to watch. Last weekend, when rap star Hammer hosted the show, Rock did his impression of a more wimpy than dangerous Michael Jackson. You may also know Rock from his role in the recent film New Jack City as the crack addict turned informant, or from his small but memorable part as the rib man in Keenan Ivory Wayans' blaxploitation satire, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. Usually on Saturday Night Live, if a sketch is built around Rock, it means he wrote it himself. One of the characters he's created is the militant talk show host Nat X, a character for which he wears a dashiki and an oversized Afro wig.
All right, it's time for a new segment on the show. It's called, What Would Have Happened If They Were Black? Now, what we do here is take crimes committed by white celebrities and ask the question, what would have happened if they were black? Tonight, Eve Montgomery writes, Dear Nat, what would have happened if Pee Wee Herman was black? Well, Eve, if Pee Wee Herman was black, not only would he have been arrested for indecent exposure, but they would have gave him another 10 years for blocking the screen with his big African-American penis.
So what interested you in this character from the period of, I'd say, what, the late 60s or early 70s, you know, Afro, dashiki? It's a period when you were very young. You were born in 67.
Right.
So is this based on people who you knew or people who you've seen on TV reruns and in movies?
I don't know. I just thought militant talk shows. Like, when I got the job, first thing I did was look at tapes of Eddie Murphy. Then I look at Living Color. And I try to figure out what didn't Eddie Murphy do and what isn't Living Color doing right now. And I came up with militant. Okay, what do I do militant? Talk show hosts. I need a format. Letterman has a very good... Letterman's very... Pretty much the same thing happens every night. So I used that format and came up with Nat X. It was more of a necessity, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was just a practical thing to do.
Now, let me ask you about another sketch that you've done. It's another show called I'm Chillin'. Describe the character and how you created this.
It was just something, like, I wanted to do a real homeboy thing from a black perspective. One thing about Chillin' is they don't steal anything. And they use a lot of slang, but the English is pretty correct. You know, if a white guy would have wrote it, the English would have been pretty messed up. You know, it would sound, and they'd be stealing. So I wanted to do, you know, just homeboys out. Just because you have a hat on, a baseball hat, doesn't mean, you know, you're getting ready to shoot anybody. These guys, you know, they got the talk shows from the projects. And it's, you know, another thing, format. Mother jokes, people are doing mother jokes. How do I slip? You know, I write these things. I'm thinking long term. How can I write I can get a lot of these out. And the best way to get a lot of them out is to have a nice, structured format. I can always come up with a mother joke. I can always say a rhyme, big rhyming thing at the top. And again, it's something they weren't doing on Living Color, and it's something Eddie didn't do.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to I'm Chillin', the showsy with the housies. Now I'm your host, on ski, to the highest degree, to the T.O.P., yo, it's all about Mike. And sitting by my side, my main man, my ace in the hole, my New Jersey toe, my Esther Roll, my 10-foot pole, my Billy Joel, my Nat King Cole, my Dead Sea Scroll, my Dr. Show, my Helmet Cole, my Grassy Knoll, my Kid Creole, my Lakaja Foe.
This year there's a larger cast than before and a lot of new performers on the show. I wonder how this year has been different for you from last.
It's a lot harder to get on the air.
Because there's more people?
Because it's a lot of people. But it's a better show this year, I think. Our ratings are pretty high.
What do you think of the parts that other writers write for you? The smaller parts?
Oh, I'm a team player. I know it's definitely not the Chris Rock show by any means. And I'll play anything. You know,
never refused a part?
I didn't play a slave last year.
What was the sketch?
It was a sketch about Civil War photos. And something about the guys taking the pictures, and I was a slave, and the whole thing about some of the guys didn't want me in the picture. So I was like, eh.
Yeah, why'd you refuse to do it?
Well, I mean, it's like, I don't play a slave. Like, where do I go after that? Where do I hang out? Who says hi? You know, if I was on Living Color, I would have done that part in a minute because there's other black things. But I'm pretty much, especially last year, like the only black guy on television for an hour and a half every week. So I kind of have a responsibility.
But there's a couple of other black cast members on the show now.
This year.
Yeah, this year. Right, but this was last year.
Last year was like, ooh. And that was probably, I'll play a slave. I don't care. It's just, I don't want that to be my only thing that night. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That's my representation.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Chris Rock. He's a cast member of Saturday Night Live. He was also a co-star of New Jack City. And we're going to take a short break and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Chris Rock is my guest. Now, let's talk about your part in New Jack City. You played a crack addict who becomes an informant for the cops.
All right, now what we need is a videotape of this whole operation. We need evidence of the financial records to make this work. Got it?
Yo, I got it. Yo, I work there, man. Yo, I'm the lookout from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., man, in one of the apartment windows. They even made me fill out an application. Asked me if I still got high, because they remember me from back in the days, because I was one of their first loyal customers, man.
You were great at this really kind of like hyper guy. Tell me how you prepared for that.
I got a lot of friends on crack. So it wasn't a lot of preparation. It was just makeup department, killer, great in New Jack City, really made me look the part. So it was pretty hard to fail. I never give myself any credit.
I was just going to say that.
But no, the makeup department in New Jack City was incredible. They worked on me for hours a day.
Did they change your teeth?
Yes. Hours a day, just putting, you know, dirt wherever, anywhere they can get in, just give me the sweat and all that. So it was a lot. It was very uncomfortable, you know, like we film it in the summer, and I have on like a snorkel coat, and I have on all this dirty makeup, and when, you know, there's no such thing as phony dirt, so I'm like grimy, and I felt pretty miserable, so it wasn't hard acting miserable when you feel pretty miserable anyway.
You said you have a lot of friends on crack, so
yes,
that you knew what that was like. Has it been hard for you to watch them become or stay addicts? I mean, is it something you felt kind of helpless about?
I mean, I got some friends that got on crack years ago, like 7 years ago, whatever. And you feel sorry for them. But I got friends that got on crack 2 years ago, and they're stupid because they saw the other, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got to watch them, and they're around, and whenever I go see my mother, I got to deal with them.
Your mother still lives in Bedford-Stuyvesant?
Yes. Yes.
Describe the block and the neighborhood.
I live on a real nice block, but it was a real bad neighborhood. It's like the nicest block in the ghetto.
What made the block nice?
It was just a nice block. It was just everybody worked and a bunch of brownstones, and then you had to go get milk. You had to go to the ghetto to get milk. It was a real nice block. It's still nice.
So what would the walk on the way to the place to get milk be like?
You know, you don't even know you're in the ghetto when you're there every day. You don't even realize it. You know, but it wasn't that wild. I mean, if you're into a wild lifestyle, then, you know, wild things happen to you. You know, I got robbed a couple of times, and you know, but nothing serious.
Now, the high school you went to, you were bussed?
I was bussed to school. Grade school, junior high, and my first 2 years of high school, all bus.
What kind of neighborhood were you bussed to?
I was bussed to Bensonhurst, pretty much. I was talking to Andrew Dice Clay.
Uh-huh.
Last year, 2 years ago, and we were talking, and we realized we went to all the same schools.
Really?
So those are the kind of people I actually went to school with. People with dice-like views. School was hell to me. School's like Vietnam. I hate school.
Did you get beaten up or anything?
I got beat up. I got put in the hospital one time.
How'd that happen?
Kicked in the head, fractured skull. It was always like stupid race stuff. And it was only like 20 black kids in the school. And it'd be hundreds of white kids, and parents didn't want us. And it was sick in the 70s. Oh.
How do you go through an experience like that and not end up just really hating all white people because of the way those particular white people treated you?
I don't know. I mean, some people were nice to me. I had a couple of nice teachers and stuff. I mean, I'm like petrified when I'm in like really poor white neighborhoods to this day. My nose will start bleeding. Petrified. Much, much more scared in a white neighborhood than a black neighborhood. A lot of people go, white people can't walk through Harlem. White people walk through Harlem every day because they own everything in Harlem. You know, in my neighborhood, when I go to the store, no black people own stores. No black people own the cleaners. No black people own the check cash place or any other liquor store. Nothing. So there's always white people in black neighborhoods. And whenever a white person does get attacked in a black neighborhood, they always get robbed because black people are broke. Whenever a black person gets attacked in a white, they just get killed. They get beat up. They could have $1,000 in their pocket. They're getting beat just for the sake of being black.
When you were in school and getting beat up a lot, were you good at fighting back?
I mean, you fight back to an extent, but it's just run. It's too much for a kid to comprehend. When I got in school, my first day, second grade, a little Eddie Farrell called me nigger. And that's that's the first word I ever heard from, like, a white kid. My first day of school. It's, like, way too much, you know. I guess I'm messed up to this day, in a sense. But, I mean, that's where the jokes come from. Comedy's the blues for people that can't sing.
So did you keep your mind on school at all? Or did that seem pretty irrelevant compared to defending yourself?
Very irrelevant.
You dropped out of high school, didn't you?
Dropped out of high school, got a GED.
And when you dropped out, is that when you started performing?
Shortly after.
Did you know you wanted to perform when you were still in school, and did you do any performing?
No, I never did any performing.
So how did you know you had it in you?
I don't know. I wanted to be famous for a long time. I knew that when I was a kid. Not that I'm old now, but I saw Leon Isaac Kennedy and Jane Kennedy were promoting Penitentiary.
Yeah.
Yes, and they came to Brooklyn, and they came to this theater, and I saw all these little girls go berserk for Leon Isaac Kennedy. I was like, oh, my God, I want to be famous. Years later, I see Saturday Night Live with Eddie Murphy, and then I saw Eddie Murphy Delirious, and then I figure out, oh, I want to do comedy. That was like, fame, how do I get famous? Comedy. And I tried it out. And here I am.
So where do you see your future lying now? More in sketches or stand-up or in movies?
I'm doing a couple of movies now. So hopefully the movies hit. And I like the show. I'm going to be there as long as Lauren wants me and as long as I feel that I'm doing something. But you want to think in the future. And you know, if I'm lucky, if I, you know, I'm true to my audience and the people that pay to see me, I'll always have my stand-up.
Well, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Chris Rock is a cast member of Saturday Night Live. This is Fresh Air.